Man, the Auburn Tigers keep giving us reasons to have excited Mondays. Like, if you're an Auburn fan, you don't just drag into a Monday anymore. That's not the case. You have this giant baseball weekend with the best crowd I've ever been a part of at Plainsman Park. And I want to talk more about that a little later.
Okay.
But Alex Golish doing work on the recruiting trail. He's Zach. I'm Brad, brand new Village Vice. Zach, I mean, a kicker committed this morning, a cornerback flipped from Alabama over the weekend. Alex Golish put up 7 Eagles in a post on social media.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's too many of the same emojis, but in this context, I think I'm cool with it. And when you look at the possibilities of who they are, with the assumption of they were players that were here this weekend,
yeah,
you're fine with any of them.
7 bat signals, 7 Eagles. And they all, like, once they started, I guess 2 of them went up Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5 of them went up yesterday within about 5 hours of each other.
Right. So we've seen 2 of them.
Yeah.
We saw Nash Johnson first. We've seen David Ash, the kicker, this morning. Brad, I think we'll see one within a few hours of this being posted.
Yeah.
Who is a talented skill position player. And then I think you've got a lot of really talented defensive players that are going to kind of trickle in over the next few weeks. It's going to be electric.
What happens when a product that's easy to sell falls into the hands of a relentless worker at his position? Someone who works relentlessly to sell an easily sellable product. That product moves like crazy. That's what happens. You've got a product in Auburn football that's easily sellable to high school recruits in every facet. And you now have a coaching staff who is relentless in their scouting, in their recruiting, in their messaging, in their pursuit. And you're seeing what happens when those two things come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And look, we've seen Auburn recruit at a high level. I mean, even over the past few years, it's what you do with it. You know, when we just have faith that the staff is going to be able to use and organize these efforts in a different way. I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, this wasn't the weekend I was expecting. I mean, I was not expecting to ever get 7 bat signals in one weekend. Let me be very clear on that. But this wasn't the weekend of visitors that I was really anticipating having this ridiculous amount of momentum on. But I mean, you look at some of these guys now that it kind of seems like Auburn may have in the boat. Like, you know, there's a lot of chatter about Aiden Wiggins, the cornerback from South Carolina. There's some chatter about Kingston Miles, the 4-star running back from St. Louis. There's a ridiculous amount of chatter around James Pace III, 4-star edge from DeMatha Catholic. Obviously, Isaac McNeil announces his decision tomorrow. Tay Walden, a guy who announced, you know, kind of last minute, he was a late addition to the official visit list, and like that, he's one of my favorite prospects in the 2027 class. And obviously, Nash Johnson and James Ash being, you know, positions that you need as well, who I think are good. But there's so much to, I don't know, there's a lot to be excited about.
There really is. Yeah, it's okay to smile about it. It's okay to be optimistic. It's okay if you want to go, yeah, but he hadn't won a game yet. Fine, he also hadn't played a game yet. But what have we heard? What's the reputation that Alex Golish has earned from a recruiting standpoint? Like, let's remember, he headed up the recruiting operations at a couple of different spots on his way up the coaching ladder. And we've heard about how elite he is at building relationships with players, with families, connecting with players. And some of that is authenticity. Some of that is transparency. You know, he's talked about how, look, we tell them it's going to be the hardest work you've ever had to do. And if they like that, great. They're the kind of people we want. Like, it's, I can understand if you tell me that it's easy to make a connection with this head coach with his authenticity and his transparency. I buy that. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that very, very early in his first, you know, recruiting cycle as the head coach.
But it is more than that, right? I mean, especially when some of the narrative early on was Auburn wasn't going to pay for guys. And, you know, we don't know all the details. We don't know if Auburn's the highest bidder or if they're just competitive and the relationship's covering the difference. Like, we don't know all that. And it may vary from target to target. But this also shows, and like, we can say what you want about Hugh Freeze, but like, that was the most united, I think, all like the different powers of Auburn have been. And the question was, okay, like, you know, you hear about all these like powers that be that love DJ Durkin and the money guys love DJ Durkin. What is this going to look like with, you know, this guy that presumably got picked to be the head coach over DJ Durkin? And then DJ said, no, but I'm good. I want to stay. Like, what was that dynamic going to look like? Yeah. And you don't have this type of momentum happen without that unity still being in effect. I do think that's kind of an underrated aspect in all of this.
Great point. Alignment is key. Any successful program, you're going to hear. Thanks, Zach. You're going to hear about alignment, and they have it, and they are. That's why I say, like, it's a sellable product on every level. So, I mean, you have the success. You don't have the success on the field in recent years, but you have the facilities. You have the winning success of the coaching staff. You have the offensive success. You have guys developing defensively and getting better every year under the defensive staff. And also you have NIL opportunities that don't take a backseat to anybody else. I mean, you got it. On top of great campus experience and all the stuff that, like, the old-fashioned fan wants to cling to and does matter still some. It's all there. There's not a missing piece. And you've got a staff that'll highlight all those things and work very hard to scout and recruit guys. So, yeah, who are the others? That's what we're waiting on now. War 7 Eagle is what I say to that. What a weekend. Yeah.
Two down, five to go. I think we'll know one in a few hours, which is exciting. Yeah.
And like you said, this is just the first weekend of official visits. We have a whole summer to go. I don't know how many they're going to take in the class, but
man, wow. I mean, you got to think that 15 number is blown out the window. No, I mean, you look at the guys coming in next weekend, and so it'll be the fifth. Yeah. And it looks like, you know, Reed Ramsey is coming in, and Marquise Evans, who are two guys that right now I think Auburn is in a good spot with.
Yeah, really exciting stuff.
Yep, top really interior offensive lineman in the class, and then I think a really solid defensive end prospect as well. So we'll see what happens with those two guys in the future. Yep. But I got a feeling tomorrow's show we'll have more to talk about.
Okay, I like that. I like it a lot. Well, yeah, I mean, look, you got to beat the rush for these for these top recruits, just like you got to beat the heat this summer. And you know who you can help? Who can help you beat the heat?
Tell me.
Our friends at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. Yes. Seriously, if you need work done on your car, you got to go into Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. They're going to send you photos, videos. You're going to know exactly what the issue is before they get into the repair. And most importantly, right now, even if like there's nothing wrong with it, how about some preventative maintenance? Take it in and mention this promotion, Beat the Heat. From the barn, they will check your, they'll do a free AC performance evaluation, a free vent temperature analysis, a free system pressure test. And then if anything does need to be repaired, they will give you $50 off all AC repairs over $300. Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. Go check them out. Tell them the barn sent you.
Bang.
There you go. Bang. Baseball playing a game 7.
That's right.
Beat UCF yesterday and then played at 10-10 last night. And I love Zach. They said, it doesn't matter.
You love Zach? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I do love
Zach. You said, I love Zach.
I love Zach.
I love Brad.
I love Zach. Also, what I love, Zach, is that they said, we don't care when we play. We don't care that we've been to the ballpark 12 hours. We don't care who we play, when we play, or if we're home or visitor. It doesn't matter. We don't care that this team scored 13 runs the first time.
Yep.
Here's the guy who just closed the first game, going to shove for four innings. Here's a guy you knocked around 48 hours ago. He's going to shove it for five innings. They dominated the game, and they forced a winner-take-all game.
Seven. Where do you rank what Hetzler did yesterday for this program? Like, I don't know how you – Cormier was unbelievable. Like, yeah. I don't want to take anything away from Cormier.
Yeah.
And Frelick was unbelievable. Like, awesome stuff.
Yeah.
But what you saw from Hetzler yesterday, like, I don't know what to compare that to.
I know.
I mean, Brad, you had three pitchers pitch a doubleheader.
Yeah.
You pitched 18 innings with three guys.
And the first guy, and I don't want to leave Alex Petrovic out of this because he was just a nasty dog after about the second inning. He did not have his best stuff in the game. And he was at, I don't know, 40, 50 something. He was at maybe 50 pitches after the first two innings. But he got a couple double plays. He settled in. He made it through six. He made it through six so that Hetzler only needed to go three to close it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he threw 37. Hetzler throws 37 and then comes back after an hour in between his last pitch of the first game and his first pitch of the Milwaukee game and goes four strong, throws over 100 pitches across two outings, strikes out 11 total batters. I don't know. Like, this is – let me tell you what it is. We've watched other teams in the postseason have special performances. And we go, boy, when's the last time Auburn had one of those? Sometimes we do that because we forget the successes.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those.
Correct.
That's one of those special performances. Chase Frelick was on the radio postgame with us last night. He said, those were guys who were pitching for more than themselves. They were pitching for Auburn last night. And I think that's appropriate. It was unreal. Unreal.
What are you expecting tonight? Marciano?
Yeah, I think Marciano, Sanders, Kulik, Chancellor, if needed. I think it's really interesting how Milwaukee went from a four seed that scored 26 runs in their first two games, which, as Butch Thompson pointed out last night, was the most runs ever scored in two games by a four seed since they started this format in NCAA regionals.
Right. What, 99? Right.
Yeah. And then Auburn held them to one last night. What changed? I don't know the answer to that, but it was very different. But they're still a team capable of scoring big. You know, was Milwaukee, like, were they hampered by the fact that they were sitting around all day thinking they probably weren't going to play? And then at 8 o'clock at night, they're like, oh, I guess we better get up and go to the ballpark.
Yeah. And like, I'm sure our guys were exhausted, but we had this discussion when we went live right after, Brad. And it's like, yeah. I think I'd still rather be Auburn in this situation than Milwaukee.
Yeah. No doubt. And I heard that show and I thought it was a good point that with the pitching, like even with guys trying to come back, that's everybody at this stage. If you're playing on a Monday, everybody's out of, like, everybody's seen everybody's best, but they started their closer last night. Big. And Auburn knocked him around.
He went through 60.
He's
not available today.
And he was ineffective in 60 pitches. So they're not going to have confidence in bringing him back, I wouldn't think. What I do think is they probably will bring back the two. They used two starters in their win over Auburn Friday. They used their first two starters in that game. Yeah. They probably bring those guys back. They pitched four and five innings. So you probably see those guys just like you see Marciano and Sanders from Auburn.
And you got offense going against those guys. It was it was the 10 runs before you could blink that you gave up. So I want Marciano to go, and I want this to be a story about redemption, and I want him to, pitch his tail off, and we say, okay, that's all done. Let's host Ole Miss next weekend and get to Omaha.
That's it. That's exactly right. To show that that's like you want to see who Jake Marciano really is, because Friday isn't who Jake Marciano actually is.
Correct.
And we have 15 games that show us who Marciano actually is.
That's right.
Before we got to Friday. So, yeah, that would be a really good redemption, kind of wipe the slate clean and remember that one instead. I think it's going to be – so yesterday goes down as one of the most memorable days of broadcasting I've ever experienced. I put it up there with the 2009 West Virginia game in football. You remember 2009 West Virginia with the rain?
I was at that game. I was at that game with my dad.
You'll never forget. Yeah, I'll never forget it and everything surrounding it. So I got to shout out the crowd, and that's why we have the 7,000 over there at the end. Mm-hmm. I think at 1 o'clock in the morning when that game ended, there were still 5,000 people at Plainsman Park. There were more people there at 1 a.m. for the end of a doubleheader when they had been at the ballpark for, I don't know, 14 hours, maybe 12 hours. If they got there at 1 for a 2 o'clock game, they were there for 12 hours. There were more people at the end of that than some of these regional hosts had at first pitch of their regional championship games.
Right.
I have been critical of Auburn baseball crowds, particularly this year, because they're sometimes they've not been engaged or into important moments. You know, you got an 0-2 count, and with Auburn's pitcher there, and you could put a lot more pressure on the hitter at that moment. Or maybe you got the other pitcher struggling, and it's a 2-0 count or a 3-0 count, and the crowd's just kind of waiting for something to happen. Not yesterday. They were into it. They were loud. They created pressure. They impacted the game. And I thought one of the greatest examples of being into it, Bub Terrell had the worst day that he's had in an Auburn jersey. And yet every time he came to the plate against Milwaukee, and certainly late against UCF, but then definitely every time he came to the plate against Milwaukee, there was a surge in the crowd. Like, okay, now's the time he's going to do it. This is it. Here we go. Like that toxic that toxic negativity of, here we go again. There was no sign of that.
Yeah.
It was so much positivity, so much support and encouragement. Now, he didn't get a hit. He didn't get a hit. But the crowd never wavered. And that hasn't always been the case. It was unbelievable to hear that crowd last night.
So going into the regional, I predicted Ethan Bingaman was going to be the guy to have a regional and nailed that.
Yeah.
If we win today, I'm saying Bub Terrell goes off against Ole Miss.
What if it's Bub Terrell? Oh, I see what you're saying. Against Ole Miss, he's the guy that goes off. Yeah. I mean, he's due.
He's certainly due.
He hasn't had prolonged slumps this year.
Yeah.
I mean, and you just trust him to break out of it. And
right.
And you know, the crowd felt that last. That's why they responded the way that they did last night. So it was awesome. I realized that, you know, the half price or whatever drinks might have had something to do with it.
Yeah.
At one point, I looked down.
Right. Make them half price tonight, too.
Sure. No, I said, I think we got ourselves a new, like, permanent promotion. I think at one point around midnight, I looked out and there were these two boys younger than my own son, who had their shirts off, waving their shirts around. That had nothing to do with the promotion, by the way. They were just, you know, young kids being funny.
Sure.
But they had their shirts off, waving them around. And I looked in one section over, there's a guy with popcorn throwing it to open mouths in the row behind him. And like, this is fantastic.
Yeah, they were showing a lot of that on the TV broad. It just looked like chaos. They're like, this is a totally different environment than what you're used to here
at
Plainsman Park. There were people building this wall of beer cans, and then one section over there are these four kids building a wall of Dr. Pepper cans, and it's like,
yeah.
And then they showed this guy, these guys like in the you know, on top of the outfield wall, and they're like accidentally dropping beers and stuff. And there's like, it's chaos.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on here? What is going on here? I love it. Make it as rowdy as possible tonight.
Heck, I wish we weren't playing till 11 o'clock tonight just to see what would happen. Okay, maybe not. Maybe I don't mean that. But it was. It's one of the most memorable things. And talking to some of the coaches and players after, they noticed it too. They notice when it's not as rowdy. They absolutely noticed it last night, and it made a mark. So I can't wait.
That's awesome.
It's going to be a great night.
All right, so we're going to try. I got a few questions about like the broadcast side of things.
Yeah.
We're going to try something new here. We're not giving you guys enough on the membership side of things. So we're going to start doing a post-show feature. So if you want more Village Vice, which some of y'all have asked for, this is our compromise. We're going to give you more Village Vice. We're going to do Village Vice post-shows as many days as we can. The goal is every day. You know, if we're in a hurry, we may not be able to, but most days the intention is to do a Village Vice post show. And so that will be available for just members only on YouTube. If you are a message board subscriber and not a member on YouTube, reach out to us and we'll figure something out on how to get that set up as well. But so to become a member, make sure you're subscribed, just normal subscribe to the Bar in Auburn on YouTube. And then that subscribe button turns into become a member. So click on that, and then that'll give you access to the membership content. There are other things there. Afternoon Delight is available every afternoon on YouTube for members only. And then as well as we have film breakdowns. Kyle's got a guy that comes in and does film breakdowns for all of our recruits. So I imagine he'll be very busy over the next few weeks. And we're coming up with new ideas to kind of put more stuff for just members only. So be sure to consider joining that today. We'd appreciate it a ton. So for you guys who hop over, we'll see you in the post show, which will be up a little bit after this goes up. So Brad, I think that does it for today's show.
Thanks everybody for watching or listening, however you get the show. And remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.